Assault.
That's the Zold, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Oh, I got sneezes here this morning. Put in a little mint and it's, woo, we'll sneeze again, I think. Oh, I'm spreading that coronavirus, spreading everywhere. You know, I think I'll start making some of these things. That's what I need to do. Because dare I say it, well, we're not looking like fools so much today, are we, folks? Huh? We're not. Oh, pardon me. Not gonna blow my. I should know better than take one of those mints before we get started here. What a time to be alive, man! And I think back over the past, all the people have laughed at me, made fun of me, and but people telling my kids your dad's crazy and all that kind of stuff, and it's all playing out before. I don't even know what to say. Here in the state of Ohio, they canceled elections today. The governor, Hail Hitler, Mike DeWine, who was John McCain's best buddy, John McCain, Lindsey Graham, and they were all butt buddies. Keating Five, he canceled the primary election today. Canceled the primary election. Now, folks, that is in my opinion. In fact, the decision didn't come down until like midnight last night. That is, in my opinion, that is tampering with an election. It's tampering with an election. So now they're going to vote again in June. They're going to move the election to June. This is what, March. So now we got April, May. We got almost 3 months. It is. It'll be an entirely different election in 3 months. I've already voted. Do I get to vote again? I voted early. What's going
hey,
on,
Coach?
We have a lawless, hear me. We have a lawless government, folks. We are living under a lawless government, whether we want to admit it or not. And for all of you out there, all you pastors who say that we have an obligation to obey the law, obey the government, I agree with you if it's the law and if it's the government. We're not obeying laws anymore. We're obeying executive orders. We're obeying edicts from courts and edicts from elected folks. This is exactly what we have been saying was going to happen. It's exactly what we've been saying is going to happen for years and years and years. You said we're coming. We laughed about, you laughed, and you're still laughing maybe about the whole idea of FEMA camps and Walmart and people coming and arresting dissidents and putting them in these detentions. And we all laughed about that, folks. Right now, we are, what was it, Benjamin Franklin? I think it was Benjamin Franklin said, he who trades liberty for freedom for liberty deserves neither liberty nor freedom. Telling you can't assemble with 10 people in your house? What? And I hate to keep coming back to it. There's no, oh, well. Does anybody know anybody's got the flu yet? Coronavirus. I know it's out there. I know it's out there. I understand what they're trying to do. But they never let a crisis
hey,
go to. I got some good information for you here today. When I got up this morning trying to figure out what am I going to talk about today? Because I don't want to keep talking about this, but it's, I got some good information for you today. So please stay with me. Again, I'll make it very clear. I believe that there is a flu epidemic. I believe that is true. But I believe it's, as I said, it's going to be more people are going to be killed. More people are going to die. More lives are going to be ruined as a consequence of the flu than the flu. That's what I believe. And we'll see how that plays out. Okay, Larry, come on in.
You know, I was going to say that as far as elections go, there's no elections today anywhere. There are popularity contests for parties to put up the slate of people that they want to put up for election. Primaries are not elections. They're simply party popularity contests. So there's no interruption of the electoral process in the United States. It's an interruption of the party process, but not of a constitutional electoral process.
We have school boards. We have several things on the ballot today, Larry, that can change from the day of the vote today and when they're going to do it in June. I understand what you're saying about the primary process, but it's Election Day. Election Day has always been a sacred day in America. And on the whim, they didn't change the election a week ago or 2 weeks ago. They changed it last night, about midnight. People get up this morning. What if you were running for office, or for, as Larry said, running for a position on the Republican ticket? You were running, and you had taken all of the money that you'd raised, and you had budgeted it out, so at the end of it, you had enough money to go down to the very end of the election, and whew, today's election day, you're out of money, you just blew your wad, and whoops, 6 more weeks to campaign. I'm just telling you, it's just unbelievably despicable. It's just despicable what we're permitting to go on, and I want to try to open some eyes today, help you to understand a little bit exactly what's happening. What did I put down here in my notes? Oh, yeah. Psalm 2, I want to start out there first thing today. I want to start out, because if you can't see that the kings of this earth are conspiring against the Lord and his anointed, I want to jump off here this morning. Well, I shouldn't have taken that mint, that Altoid. Holy grimy, my whole head opened up. Sorry, just blow my nose on TV like I didn't mean to do it. Let's see here. What am I looking for? Can't even find my way around my own chart anyway. Let's go to that. Is that where I want to go? That's where I want to go. Why do the heathen rage? Wow. Every time I read this, I see something different. Wow. There's two sets of people here. Evidently, the heathen aren't people. Why do the heathen rage? And the people imagine a vain thing. That's two different sets of people there, isn't it? The heathen and the people. Two sets of people. The kings of this earth set themselves. This is what Larry was just talking about, the election. The kings of the earth set themselves. In other words, they take control and then they set themselves up and set around them people who are part of the system. And the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointing. This is the spiritual battle that's going on that we're seeing play out before us right now today. They say, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. What? The heathen are trying to cast off the bands of the people who've been controlling them. Let's break off the controls of the people and cast away their cords from us. Let us be in charge and run everything, including the fact that Christianity and a Christian government and we the people were ordained and given by God to restrain these rulers. That's what it was. And so they want to cast off those bands and cast away those cords of morality and righteousness that would hold them together. But notice that God sits in the heavens and he laughs. Lord's going to have them in derision. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath. What? Yeah. And vex them in his sore displeasure. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Folks, there is a shift, a very, very, very powerful, spiritual, moral, governmental, monetary. There's a shift going on right now, like we've never seen. I had a call last night from a pastor friend of mine down in Georgia. I won't mention his name just because I didn't ask him if it'd be okay. And he just called me out of the blue. I've known him for quite a while. I haven't spoken to him in probably 5 or 6, 7 years. He just called and said, Coach, what's going on? The churches, he's a pastor. Churches around me are so wimpy. The pastors have no vision. Where do we turn, Coach? What are we supposed to do? As I said yesterday, the worst Christian leadership in the history of the world is going on right now. We're right in front of it. We are a rudderless ship because our churches have shaken off the desire to be in control. Those bands that the heathen are raging, those bands of control that we used to have been broken. And because we are in such disarray, our government is crazy. We have an opportunity to rebuild and redo. It's going to be fascinating to watch. It's going to be fascinating to watch. So I want to encourage you today that this, whatever is going on, time out, friends, this is not about a virus. Please understand, it is not about a virus. I got some things I want to show you today. I got a couple emails yesterday from people who said, and rightfully so, they said, Coach, why are we worrying about money? Why are we worrying about money here? You know, it's about the gospel. It's about getting the truth out. And I said, well, yeah. I get it. I'm not worried about money. I'm just talking about preparation for what's coming. How can you help people if you don't have any finances to be able to help them? How can you possibly do that? How can you feed people if you don't have the wherewithal to be able to purchase the goods? How can you possibly do it? So we can't ignore money and the importance of money and the importance of finances, because friends, I'm going to tell you this, they are using finances to break even more our personal control, our control of ourselves. I thank God every day that I live out here where I live. I don't live in the city. If I was in the city, go back to the book of Matthew, where Jesus warned him, flee, get out of the city. Because I just believe there's some unbelievable stuff coming down still. Can you believe? I'm going to open it up here for a second. Some of you give us some examples of some government overreach that's going on in your area, or things that you've heard about. I'm going to open it up. Polls are closed. Jody, we know the polls are closed. We know they've cut down on bars, and restaurants aren't even open. Gathering. Does it got any more tyranny that's going on out there? Anything else that the government? Listen now. The government, whatever they are, they don't have the authority to do it. They don't have the authority to do it. They do not have the authority to close down your ability to earn a living simply because they're afraid someone might get a virus. They don't have that authority. And they're going to continue to do it until somebody pushes back. Somebody come in here. Give me an update of where you are. I got not a whole lot. I got a lot to get into here.
Well, Dallas, this is Glenn reporting it from Dallas.
Hey, Glenn.
So Dallas has gone from a ban. This is the Dallas County now, has gone from banning groups of 500 down to 50. All the health clubs have been closed.
Glenn, let me stop a minute, folks. I got to ask you just a simple question. How many people does it take to spread the virus? One. It takes one. So what's the difference between a group of 100 or a group of 50? If there's one person that's in there, you got it. What the heck is that all about? Now they're telling us we can't assemble, and the church has so bowed to the authority of the government. Somebody else, come on in.
We're assembling, Coach. We're not backing down.
Bless you, Dave.
It doesn't matter. Heck no, man. God's not giving us a spirit of fear, man. The thing I keep reading in my mind is 2 Chronicles. We want to go right to verse 14. But if we read 12 and 13, he says, if I cause a famine or pestilence.
Jared, hang on, Dale. Some people like to read along. Jared, pull that up. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Pull that up on the screen so people can read along with it.
No, start with 12, not 14.
Start with 12.
There you go. The Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto thee, I've heard your prayer. He says, I've heard your prayer, Solomon. I've chosen this place myself as a house of sacrifice. If I shut up the heavens and there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, and if I send a pestilence amongst my people, God gets to do what he wants to do.
He's doing it.
He's allowing it. That's right. I'm battling with these people they're rolling their eyes, their kids at home. I said, maybe. I said, you hate what they're teaching your kids in school. Maybe God's trying to help you in this. Maybe he's trying to restore or back in the earth itself. Amen. This is crazy. And I'm not shutting down my church. They'll have to come and arrest everybody in my church. And they all said the same thing. Now, we got hand sanitizer when you come in. You can pick up your own bulletin. We ain't shutting down nothing.
These are grown people. They know to wash their hands, don't they? They know to wash their hands.
Hey, Coach. And, Coach, I'm talking from a personal perspective. My wife is working with these patients at East Jefferson Hospital. We ain't backing down. Man, I've been preaching the gospel. Everywhere I turn, people are in despair, and I'm bringing them a word of encouragement. God says of the elect, he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor their offspring begging for bread.
God says, I'm going to bring this. The locusts are going to come. Pestilence is going to come. Then he says what? When that stuff comes, if, that's a big if, my people, not the world, if my people who are called by my name, I never thought that word witch. That always gave me a problem. My people aren't witches. They're whose? If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their own wicked ways, if we quit worrying about how the lost were acting,
Coach, listen, pause for a second. Church has no problem with praying. The church have a problem with turning from their wicked way. We look at the word wicked, we think something really bad and sinister. Let's be reminded what he said about the three servants, the one with five talents. He buried it because he was fearful. And God said, wicked, you're a wicked servant. That's the wickedness he's talking about here.
Okay, then will I hear from heaven, I will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now remember, folks, this prayer is to his people, my people, not to Donald Trump. Now, Trump may be one of his people, I don't know. I'm not even going to argue about that. I know Dale Soch is one of his people. I know John Brockoff's one of his people. I know Jeff Klein's one of his people, and Glenn Claremont and George Lewis and Mark, they're all ones of his people. That's the ones that he's talking to. And are we humbling ourselves and praying and seeking his face and turning from our own wicked ways? Are we doing that? They call it National Day of Prayer, and the churches don't even open. Churches don't even open. And then I got an email from somebody who said, well, Coach, you don't have to go to church to pray. I understand. But there's something powerful about a corporate prayer gathering where two or more are gathered. He's in the midst. One can send two can send 1,000 light up to flight. Three can send 1,000,000. The multiplication factor of common people coming together in prayer, the power there. And we don't even open our churches up. We don't even have, at the time when we most need spiritual awakening, our doors are shut because we're worried we might get a virus that we don't know anybody who currently has. Every time I say that, it sounds like I'm making light of the virus. I'm not making light of the virus. I believe it's real. I believe some people are going to die. Are we going to hole up and hide for a month and try to restart economy? People have to have food to eat. They need to have money to live.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Good morning. It's Matt up here in New Hampshire.
Matt? How you doing, Matt? Good to hear you.
Good, brother. Good. Hey, I wanted to chime in. I was listening in, and I came in on the call, and I got in when Dale was speaking about the wickedness. Also, in the book of Matthew, Jesus is talking about wickedness when he says, if your fathers will give you, well, or will a father give his son a stone instead of a fish? And you, in all of your wickedness, will still do the right thing for your kid. How much more will your Heavenly Father do for you? Right?
Amen.
So that speaks to the wickedness of man. I wanted to give you a idea of what's going on up here in Massachusetts and even New Hampshire. Boston, I just drove into the city. This is my last day coming down here because all of the bio firms that I come and do work for are literally closing. Mm. I just drove from New Hampshire, from Manchester, into the heart of Cambridge, Massachusetts in 50 minutes, which is normally a two and a half hour commute.
Wow.
So they have literally shut down the city. The mayor up here just shut down all construction sites are suspended.
Yeah, our buddy Steve Deck. I don't know if Steve's up listening today. I talked to him yesterday. He's a construction superintendent. They sent him home. They sent, hey, how are these guys going to get paid? How are they going to get paid next 3 weeks? What's going on, huh?
But Coach, I'm sorry.
It's okay. You keep saying that something's going on here, and it is, Coach. The store shelves are empty in the wholesale clubs, and they aren't being replenished. The issue is our food supply is run out.
That is an issue.
I went to Walmart yesterday. The shelves were full in Houston, Texas at the Walmart. I had to go get bread for lunch. They had food everywhere. Now, Coach, I'll say this. I want to go back to the spiritual thing.
Well, hang on.
God is getting the salt out of this.
Hang on a second. In fairness to Matt, in some stores, I went to Kroger's last night. They didn't have a lot on the wall. Now, they're being replenished. That's why, hang on, Dale. That's why they're changing their hours. I don't know if you guys have been noticing that. They've been shortening down their hours so they can restock the shelves. I hear you, Matt. I think it's coming. I think we're still okay for a while, but shortages are definitely coming. Go ahead, Matt. Go ahead.
Right. Yeah. No. Back to this, Coach. This is because people are dying every day. But now God is emptying the church. I'm getting them out of the building. Now be the church. Be the salt. Yeah. Be the light. Come on. There's always a silver lining. Always a silver lining.
Amen. Amen. Hey, listen, boys, you think I'm crazy. I'm working. We're working to get Sky High ready because people are going to be coming. People are going to be coming. What do you mean, Coach? I don't know. I just know people are going to be coming. Whether they're going to be sleeping in tents, whether they're going to be sleeping in campers, I don't know. I thank God that it happened when warm weather's coming. I thank God for that because I believe that what's coming upon America in the next 3 months is going to be like something we have never, ever seen. And I thank God. I thank God for his timing. Remember the Bible says that in the Matthew that pray that your flight would be in the summer, right? Oh man. So we got a chance, man. We got a chance. I got a lot to talk about here. Go ahead. Yeah, Jeff.
Here's a little example. I knew a couple of years ago, Pastor Bill said, we built that 40 by 60 on there, which he said then. He said, this is too big for what we need, but the day's coming when people will come. When they're scared and churches are closing down, they'll come. So here's what's happened just in the last few weeks. You have Pastor Scott and his wife and son, now his dad, that whole family is coming because that church kicked Pastor Scott out. He's loving it. Now he's going to be driving the bus, picking up kids. He's fired up that the old Pastor Scott is back. We had another family, the Mexican, has got the cancer with his girlfriend, a little 11-year-old. They all three got saved 2 weeks ago. They've been in there 9 weeks in a row. We gathered last Sunday, had a corporate prayer. We'll gather again Sunday. Now I had a kid come in my car lot yesterday that I talked to 6 months ago to try and get this kid straightened out. His girlfriend's pregnant. They're not married. They are coming to church this Sunday. They called me up. He drove into the car lot. He is going to be there this Sunday. These people are coming, and there's a couple other new families that are in there, and we're bringing them in.
So, Jeff, here's a better question. What about Kenyon? Did they close down? Is that event still going on up there in a couple weeks, Jeff? Did Kenyon send everybody home yet?
This is what I'm working on. I'm going to drive up through there today because I think some of the students will still be there. I don't think all of them can go home. And I've had people say, well, you need just cancel it. I said, no. Not going to cancel that. There's still people in Gambier that need to know the truth on what's going on.
Okay.
So whether there's 200 or 300 or 2,000 or 3,000 students, will still go.
Cool. Hey. Okay. Great. Good news, Jeff. God bless. Listen, I got some stuff I got to get to you today. Okay. Some of it. I want to. This is so critical. I saw this. Hey, Jared, click on it. Says 1.5 trillion. Click on that for you, folks. I want to take you on a little bit of a journey here because I think it's important. And always remember this. This is about preparation from where I am. When I come to you, it's not about money. But if we say we all don't care about money and being safe, we'd be lying, right? So we do care about money. I guess I saw this and I about choked. Because you guys, you know, I've been telling you the money's fake. The money's not real. The reason we know the money's not real is because the government doesn't care how much of it they spend. They know it's not real. And I remember I had a conversation with a friend who I won't mention at this time, and he was doing a project, and I said, how much does that cost? He says, I don't worry about that, Coach Dave. He said, I owe millions. I said, what? He said, yeah, I owe millions. That's real power. That's what he told me. I owe millions. That's real power. Because the people who loan you the millions, they don't want to see you go under. You following it? Following it? So these guys who are talking, and we're talking in $100 bills. They're talking in $1,000 bills or $10,000 bills. I don't even know. They're in a whole different financial level than what we are. And unfortunately, or fortunately, what we see going on right now is the big groups are going to be broken as well. This thing is all tumbling down, friends. I don't know what's going to come on the other end of it. But I want you to stop and think right now. Every restaurant that you know, pick a restaurant chain. Texas Roadhouse. Pick Olive Garden. Pick whatever you want to. Hey, folks, their businesses, boom, they stopped. Those guys don't have money coming in. Those workers don't have money coming in. They all have bills to pay. They have rent to pay. Folks, this thing is hitting everybody. So what has the government tried to do? This is amazing, man. I saw this. I heard it yesterday, 2 days ago, 3 days ago it was. I heard it, and I thought, what? Did I hear what I thought I heard? Huh? Fed to inject $1.5 trillion. The Federal Reserve is going to inject $1.5 trillion to prevent unusual disruptions in the markets. Now, let me give you plain English on this. They're going to give $1.5 trillion to the banks. Because the banks don't have any money, folks. The banks don't have any money. So they're going to try to give $1.5 trillion to the banks to keep the banks afloat because all of us are so deeply in debt. And see, that bell went off in my head. Ding, 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 ding. $1.5 trillion? You mean right now they're printing them and they're printing those dollar bills and those $100 bills? And then when do they end up here in Hebron? When do we get? How long would it take you to ship some of that $1 trillion here in Hebron and Thornville? There's about eight banks around. When does their money arrive? When does that happen? Does UPS bring it? Does FedEx? Does the post? Who brings that money to them? Huh? So I thought that's an odd number. Hey Jared, click on how much money's in circulation. So I went to the New York Fed website this morning. And I thought, well, that's something not right. They're going to print $1.5 trillion? Really? So I went to the New York Fed Reserve Bank in New York. There it is on your screen. How currency gets into circulation? There is about $1.2 trillion of U.S. currency in circulation. Now, that's a mic drop. They're going to print $1.5 trillion. But right now, today, there's only $1.2 trillion. We've been printing money for how many years, and there's only $1.2 trillion? Right there it is, off of the Federal Reserve's own homepage. There's only $1.2 trillion in circulation, yet they're going to dump $1.5 trillion more into it. Folks, they ain't printing money. They're printing digits. They're just putting digits into bank accounts. And they're convincing us that the dollar is.
Hey, Coach.
Yeah.
There might be another aspect of this that those of us that went to Vietnam know that periodically the U.S. government printed new money for the soldiers in Vietnam to use. We didn't use dollars and stuff. We used what they call military payment certificates. And every 8 or 9 months or so, they would print new MPCs, different colors, different pictures on them and stuff. And we would have to take that physical currency we had, we'd have to take it to one particular place and convert it to the new stuff. And you had one day in which to do this. One day. If you couldn't get it done that day, all that old currency you had in your pocket was worthless the next day.
Well, Larry, it's coming.
Are they getting ready to do that nationwide here?
Well, that's what Gary was saying. See, that's what Gary was saying in the pre-show, right? It's exactly what he's saying. Are they setting us up? Folks, please understand this. There is right now $1.2 trillion in circulation. That means If somebody in Canada has an American dollar, if somebody in Russia has an American dollar, my brother's in some place over in the Middle East, if he has any American dollars, all the American dollars in circulation is 1.2 trillion. We just saw that, but they're going to print 1.5 more. Really? Really? Something's happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. Jared, I got to show this. Jared, goes down and click on it. Says money spreads the virus. Because we were talking about a cashless society. They have to get away. Folks, we have to get away from cash because nobody can pay their bills. Look at this. Look at this. Paper money and coins as potential vectors of transmissible diseases. In other words, that dollar you got in your pocket that could be carrying the coronavirus. Oh, those coins, they could be carrying the, oh, we can't be spreading the virus through money now. Can we, boys and girls?
China already did that. Took all the cash and coins.
I'm not laughing. Hang on a minute. I just got to do it again. I'm going to put this hat on, and then I'm going to put on Lindell's hat, and then I'm going to put on Rob Pugh's hat, and then I'm going to put on this hat, because we have been telling you, and you laugh at us. You laugh at us when we've been telling you that this stuff is coming. Now, I'm not laughing because we are all caught up and wrapped up in this, but I'm trying to say to my good friends who are watching right here, right now, your dollars, boys and girls, ain't going to be worth a hoot. Ain't going to be worth a hoot. Hey, how do I know they're not worth a hoot? Because they're printing 1.5. They're printing more right now than is in circulation. Anybody ever heard of inflation? Know what that is, what that means? The coach, you're scaring me this morning. I'm not trying to scare you. It's a reality of what's going on around us. And understand. Understand. You say, Coach, what do you want me to do? What should I do with the money? I don't know. I don't know. You can't get gold and silver. You can't get it.
Yesterday, Coach, I was listening to Andy Shechtman, who's the CEO of Miles Franklin. They're a precious metal dealer that's been around for 30 years. They had their biggest day in history yesterday. Their traders were working until 8 o'clock last night, and you can't get any silver, and gold's going to run out soon as well.
Hey, Jared, go to stevequayle.com. Thank you, Glenn. Stevequayle.com. I want to show you something. Stevequayle.com. I called Steve Quayle about the metals. He says he's never seen anything like it. You can't get anything. But I want you to see something here that's always on Steve's. Hey, folks. Hey, Jared, look at those charts right in the middle. Look at those charts. 24-hour gold price. Can somebody explain to me how they can be printing 1.5 trillion? Jared, I'm sorry. Go back right on the front page, Jared. Right there, those three white things. Yeah, there. 24-hour gold. Gold is down. How can gold be down? Silver is down. How can silver be down? Platinum's down. How can platinum be down? See, it all has to do with the fact that the banks have what they call shorts, meaning they have a lot of money invested in paper silver. People have bought gold and silver, but they just have it on paper. They don't really own it. They're trusting the bank to keep it for them. And the banks don't have the money to cover it. So the banks are driving the price of gold and silver down to clean up their own balance sheets. And folks, there's no way gold and silver can be going down, but it is. It's at a rock bottom. I talked to a guy yesterday. Are you sitting down? He says he believes that gold should be 50,000 an ounce. 50,000. Silver should be $150 an ounce, but you can't get it. Why can't you get it? Does somebody know something that the rest of us don't know? Say, well, Coach, now you got me really worried because I can't get gold and silver. What do I do? What do I do? I don't know, but don't trust in those dollars. I can tell you that. Don't trust in those dollars. Somebody come on in here. I got some more stuff to show you.
Coach, I think the next thing, the next wave we're going to see is now that our fabulous churches, our mega churches are closed, now they're going to be whining that the offerings are down and they can't make that huge mortgage payment. And the preacher that's making the six-plus figure income can't keep his way of living up. And now they're going to be figuring out how do we get the money back in here to keep their door to in order to pay for their luxurious lifestyles.
Rich, hey, Rich, it's worse than that, brother. It's worse than that. The people coming sitting in the pews aren't working.
No, right.
They're not working, right? Right?
God is truly going to bring up the true church because of all this.
Oh, my goodness. And our governor, what's our governor do? What's the first thing he does? Hits the food industry. People in the food industry, they're struggling as it is. They're not making a whole lot of money being waiters and servers. And they're not making a whole lot of money. Who's the first people they hit? They hit those people. First one.
The other thing that they haven't mentioned yet, you know my present situation at the moment. Uh-huh. Well, the contacts that I have, there is the building industry, the residential building, and they're saying that they can't because we make our interior doors and all that crap from China. They can't. They're having a hard time getting lumber packs out to the new home construction to build houses. So there's the next thing that's going to be falling.
Oh my goodness! It's all good though, isn't it? What an opportunity that lies before us. I got some more stuff. Let me open the door. Somebody else, come on in here. Hey, be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. Don't be whining and moaning and groaning, folks. This is what we've all been praying for, right?
Hey, coach.
Yep,
coach. Don't let the news fool you about things diminishing in China. The people that I'm working for, that's the house that you stayed in. That's the vice president of Continental Western. They're like Uline. They sell the N95 masks. Uh-huh. He told my wife yesterday, he goes, China is buying all of our N95 masks, all of them.
Well, they have billions of people though, so I get you, I get what you're saying. So anybody,
but they weren't buying them before.
They weren't
buying them before.
Yeah. Well, daggone, whatever.
I hope Congress there's not a diarrhea outbreak. Everybody would be buying nasal spray.
Oh my God.
Congress had a ban on arm mask factories here in the United States from selling it here in the United States. And yesterday they released that ban. They had two factories that built masks here in the United States.
Mm. Boy, oh boy. So, Jared, folks. Put on print money in the Constitution. Click on that, Jared. Who's in control of our money, folks? Who's in control?
It should be the Congress.
We hear President Trump talking about deep state, and we know this. It's the Fed. We hear the President of the United States complaining about the Fed. I came across this, 7 different clauses in the Constitution regarding money. They protect liberty and prosperity when we follow them. The Constitution's 7 money clauses protect us, okay? 7 clauses of the United States Constitution touch on questions that might be described as relating to monetary policy. Properly interpreted, these 7 clauses together form a system of rules that strongly protects economic prosperity and political liberty. 4 of the clauses include the word money, and 3 include the word coin, and 2 include the word dollar. So here are the clauses. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 2. Congress shall have power to borrow money on the credit of the United States. 2. Congress shall have power to coin money. Do you notice it doesn't say print? To coin money, Congress shall regulate the value thereof and of foreign coin and fix the standards of weights and measures. Folks, Congress doesn't do that. The Federal Reserve does that. Federal Reserve is a private organization outside and above the reach of Congress. That's why we see the president begging the Fed, you control the money, you control the people. President Trump begging the Fed to do number three. Congress should have power to provide for the punishment of counterfeiting the securities and current coin of the United States. Folks, when they put money together, a dollar was a representation of the price of gold. It was like an ounce, right? They took a dollar, and a dollar of gold was worth, or gold was worth a dollar. And they tied it to the price of gold. When they took us off of the gold standard, then they began to print 1.5, like we see, 1.5, they just make up money. And it's tied and backed by nothing. What they are doing right now is counterfeiting. Who's doing it? The Federal Reserve is. Number four, no money shall be drawn from the Treasury, but in consequence of appropriations made by law. Congress isn't supposed to, oh my goodness. Number five, the migration or import of such persons as any of the states now existing shall think proper to admit shall not be prohibited by the Congress prior to year 1808, but a tax or duty may be imposed on such importation, not exceeding $10 for each person. You're allowed to tax a person $10 to come to the United States. No direct tax. No, you couldn't tax people, folks. You couldn't do it. You couldn't do it. Number six, no state shall coin money, not print money, coin it. Why? Because the coin was actual money. No state shall coin money. How about this one? Emit bills of credit or make anything but gold and silver coin a tender payment of debts. Our money's unconstitutional, friends. The Federal Reserve has usurped the power, come up with usury. In suits at common law, where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. My goodness, my goodness, my goodness. So this is what's happened to us, see. We have yielded our money, control of our money to the Federal Reserve. I got a video of G. Edward Griffin I can pull up and play, but I don't really have time to do that. The folks, the Federal Reserve, our money is controlled by private banking interests. Government's not in control of money. Not. So sit down a minute and relax a minute, because we are in the process, I believe, of a monetary reset, evaluation of our money. We don't know what it's going to look like. I don't know what it's going to look like. But I believe that one of the goals is to eventually, once again, tie our dollar to something. Richard Nixon took us off the gold standard in 1972, I think it was. Then we became what they called petrodollars. And we tied the value of our dollar to oil. And that's why everybody in the world was required to buy oil in dollars. Even if you lived in Russia, you had to buy oil in dollars. Everything was tied to the oil. And now we see what's happened to the oil. I was talking to a guy yesterday. He says he believes oil is going under a dollar a gallon. Going under a dollar a gallon. Why? Because the only thing propping up oil was the fact that we were using it as a hedge against inflation. And now that we have our own, oh my goodness, is the world getting ready to change? I got more, but I'm going to stop right there because I know there's some wiser people than me listening. Come on in. So hang on a second. Hang on. So you say, Coach, what's going to happen? I think we're in a reset. I think we're in a global currency reset. I think that every dollar you have, at some point, at some point there's going to be a 4 or 5 day bank holiday. And then they're going to say, hey, listen, we've reevaluated our coins. We've reevaluated, and here's what they now are worth. And they're going to say to you, hey, do me a favor, bring in all those old Federal Reserve notes that you have. Bring all those in, and you can exchange those things out, and we'll put this new money, we'll put it right into your account for you. That's what I think is coming. And the American dollar, as we know it, is soon going to cease to exist. Why? Well, heck, it's spreading the virus. Spreading the virus. And they just printed up $1.5 trillion without putting any ink. They printed $1.5 trillion without any ink. And they didn't need any ink to do it. They just put the digits into the accounts of the banks. That's what's going on. That's what I think is what's happening. And hey, I think it's a good thing.
Coach. Lord,
unjust way.
Coach, my dad was born in 1924. And my mom in the 30s here. So I used to hear their stories when they were growing up. Then when they started getting their coins and gold coins and silver, they were trading them in for soup tickets just to eat.
Isn't that something, huh? That's folks, that's where it is, man. I'm just telling you, that's what I see. That's what I believe is going on. Hey, Jared, click on unconstitutional. It's at the bottom. I hope I'm not stunning all of you. I'm not trying to scare you. I know your mind's racing right now. Well, God, what am I going to do with what I have? I would say find something tangible to put it into. And I mean, it's hard to get gold and silver. It's hard to do that. Food. Buy food.
Guns and ammo would be a good hard asset.
You can't even hardly find ammo anymore, though, Larry. I get you, Larry. I'm with you. Yeah, I mean, hard. Folks, if you can't hold it, you don't own it. If you can't grab, hey, I got some toilet paper here. I can grab it. I own it. I don't have an IOU for toilet paper. I got some. Right? And so go ahead, Vinny. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying you're holding up that toilet paper. You know, some people don't have that, brother.
That's right. It's gold, man. It's gold. And I think I'm violating the law because I use it to blow my nose.
Yeah, I think we might see a financial reset. I agree with that, Coach. In the short term, I think I think with all of this printing, I think they're trying to create the illusion of liquidity because they're concerned about a credit freeze. Remember, everything runs on credit.
Right.
So it might not be a bad idea for people in the short term to have some cash on hand in case we get a credit freeze.
I would agree
just
with that.
Just a thought.
No, I think, folks, you ought to all listen. You ought to have 2 weeks, at least 2 weeks of living expenses in your house. Dollars somewhere. In your mattress somewhere. Everybody ought to do that. Is the Federal Reserve constitutional? That's what's on your screen right now. This was written back in 2016. It says, what if I told you that every time you spend a dollar, you're doing something unconstitutional? That the so-called legal tender probably in your pocket right now is part of the greatest theft in human history, that our national central bank, the Federal Reserve, is unconstitutional. You would probably call me a conspiracy theorist, tinfoil hat, or a crazy person. How can our central bank be unconstitutional? How could we all be so blind to this? In this article, I'm going to prove the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional using government sources of information. First, I feel the need to define the Federal Reserve Bank. It's a privately owned corporation with unique power to coin, print, and monetize the U.S. dollar. You remember when you used to print, remember pre-1984, I think it was, when the coin was actually silver? Now it's what, copper coated in something else? The part of that definition that is unconstitutional is the fact that the Federal Reserve is privately owned, and it's controlled by private stockholders. A privately owned bank is unconstitutional because only Congress is supposed to have the power to directly control the dollar. Section 8 of the Constitution of the United States of America states, Congress shall have the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures. Congress, not the Federal Reserve, folks. Nowhere else does the Constitution grant similar or the same powers. On top of that, the 10th Amendment states the power is not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited to it by the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. With these two combined, a privately owned bank that controls U.S. currency like the Federal Reserve is unconstitutional because the Federal Reserve is not controlled by Congress, nor does the Constitution grant those powers to any other body. I'm not going to read more than that, okay? But there it is, folks. There it is.
Coach, if you want to know, I'll just tell everybody this. They probably know, some of us know this, but if you want to understand who the Federal Reserve Bank is, just Google up Rothschilds. They're the biggest player. There's five basic families that run the world. Rothschilds, they own 70% of the banks in the world. This is a evil agenda. It started in the 1760s, Coach. You can read all this and learn about it.
I've read it all. I know. There.
Okay, so what I'm saying, Coach, is we don't run our country anyway. So this, what's going on behind the scenes? There is something. There's a struggle for something, and we're going to see it play out here. And the dollar's probably going to change. And we have, that's what we're talking about. How do we, are we going to be prepared to make it in this time? Because the sheep will take what they get. The government will tell you, this is what you're going to do. You're going to sell these for soup, like Joseph said. Or you can say, well, no, I'm prepared. I have gold. I have silver. I have wealth. I don't have to do that. That's the difference.
Amen.
You know, there's been a lot of folks singing that song about the Fed is unconstitutional for decades. But things were so swimmingly nice and comfortable, and the temperature water of the pool was just right. So nobody bothered to say, oh, okay, it's unconstitutional. But, man, this sure feels good.
Hey, Jared, do me a favor. Go to lewrockwell.com, L-E-W, lewrockwell.com.
Hey, Larry, they're kind of loving their servitude, aren't they, in consumption and entertainment?
Till the bill comes due, huh, Mark? Till the bill comes due. Now, listen, folks, I just got to throw this up there. This is Ron Paul. I have a lot of respect for Ron Paul. He's the one who's been speaking out against the Fed for how long? I can't believe he's not dead. The coronavirus hoax. This is an article worth reading. I'm not going to read it to you, right? Okay. But if you have any respect for Ron Paul, he's lays it out here. This whole thing is being orchestrated because of finances. Again, not that some people aren't going to die, not that it isn't real, but folks, my, the destruction that they are doing, or should we say the correction that they're making, maybe the God-ordained, God-directed correction in the American way of life. Hey, we deserve a crash, don't we? Huh? Don't we? Don't we Americans who murder 65 million babies, don't we deserve some judgment? How could any of us ever gripe at all if the entire economy crashed and we were eating toads? How could any of us ever, ever complain? That those of us who carry the name of Christ have stood back silently and allowed all of this destruction to come upon us. As Larry just said, because we were comfortable. We were comfortable, right? Oh, it didn't matter. Oh, our money's crooked. Oh, well, I'm doing okay with it. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, they're taking away all your medical decisions. Oh, okay. They're going to force your vaccination. Oh, okay. I'm okay. I've had all my vaccines. It doesn't affect me. And so the church, when the government comes along and this, oh, we better not go to church. Now, it would be us. Jared, if you could, put this thing from Ron Paul in the links down there. LewRockwell.com. LewRockwell.com.
He's a doctor, right?
He's a doctor. I don't know if he is or not. I really don't know.
Yes. Ron Paul?
Yes. Ron Paul's a doctor. He's a doctor, right? Yeah, again, listen, folks, the virus is real, but everything else around it's a hoax. Everything else is a hoax. Everything else. And so the consequent, I just tell you to hunker down, understand what's going on. Quit listening to, this is me now. I don't care how many people are dying and where it's spreading to. That is not the real issue with this thing.
Question.
Yeah. Yes.
Is Trump part of it?
Good question. Here's what I would think. This would be my guess, and I don't know. I think he's part of allowing the economy to collapse because he knows it can't go on. That's what I think. And I think that when a collapse comes and all this stuff falls apart, we ought to all begin focusing our eyes on the rebuilding. You know, if the dollar went broke tomorrow, there'd still be buildings here. There'd still be houses. There'd still be people. There'd still be people in the need to eat. Something's going to rise up out of the ashes, I think. And he certainly knows better than we know what's going on. So I don't know, Mark. I don't know. Hey, we need a reset.
Coach, you're absolutely right. The rebuilding process is what we should be focusing on.
Right. That's right.
And I don't have all the ideas of how to fix everything, but I am willing to be a conduit to connect people that do have ideas together, if possible. Look at my last video. If you haven't watched my last video yet, folks, watch it.
Robert, March 17th, St. Paddy's Day. Send us off on some good news here, will you? St. Paddy's Day, March 17th. Can I say it, Lord? Yeah. Not all those Catholic boys out drinking their green beer today. They're not going to be allowed to be doing that, are they? Go ahead, Robert.
Yeah, this is really good news for sure. Said you will walk triumphantly only when you walk with him, Jesus, who won.
Yeah.
Why be overcome when you are called to be an overcomer? And that's what we're called to be.
Mm-hmm.
As believers in Christ, we alone have been made complete, so there's no room to feel all alone. We've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ, so we should not feel spiritually bankrupt. God's inspired and living word equips us for every good work, so we should not feel useless or expired. We have been chosen to be holy and blameless, so we should not be trapped in sin and deception. We are called, commissioned, and sent out to be ambassadors for Christ the King, therefore should not stay back as pacifists. All believers are privileged to participate in an active, holy, and royal priesthood, and thus are not confined into being mere spectators watching clergy performers. We can overwhelmingly conquer as citizens of heaven and not be overwhelmed by the world's circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Believers can joyfully serve Christ, the head of the church, being assured that he will crush Satan under their feet. God always leads those who are spirit-led in triumph in Christ. Those who are spirit-led will triumph in Christ, for the Spirit came to glorify the Son in us, the Son who overcame for us. The Spirit of truth was sent to teach us how to abide in the Son, and by abiding in him who is truth, one is truly set free from fear, anger, whatever. We also bear much fruit by abiding in him and he in us. So we are not to be trapped in the devil's snares or deceived by his lies, for we have been set free from being his captives, no longer walk in his darkness, but in newness of life. And Christ abiding in us is the hope of glory. For from glory to glory, the Holy Spirit continues to transform us by renewing our mind and creating the mind of Christ in us. So we're on the winning side. And like I say, you know, we don't have food. Hey, just fast 40 days. Come on, people. Let's rise up. Be the church. God's all sufficient.
Yeah, listen, you got to remember this, though, too, you know. I remember when our son Zach was younger. Zach was always kind of – he always liked Michigan when everybody else liked Ohio State. It was just kind of part of his nature. He's just kind of was always against everybody. Same thing. He always liked the Bengals. And he would always be talking about the Bengals. He would say, we did this and we did that. And I said, what are you talking about we? What do you mean we? You ain't part of the Bengals. You're not part of Michigan. What do you mean we? Well, I was thinking about that as Robert was reading. We are overcomers. Hey, folks, you ain't an overcomer if you ain't in the game. If you're just one of the we's sitting in the stand saying, hey, we win, and you're shaking your pom-poms, you're not getting the real joy of the victory. You're really not. And the Lord has brought us to this point, this
amen,
place.
Amen, Coach.
Times like we probably have never, ever seen. And the imagine our parents in the Great Depression who really didn't have a whole lot. to a great depression in America today, in the world today, with everything we have and life being so stinking easy. Here's my word for you today. We've been here before, and we'll probably be here again. But this is our time. We've been called into the kingdom for such a time as this. Let's act like we're the overcomers that we are. God bless you. See you tomorrow.
Amen.